The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, August 12th, 2012. If you're listening live, and whatever time and place it is, if you're listening to the recording, welcome. Today I'm going to be talking a lot about what seems to be going on right now. So, at least in the context I have it and the connections that I have received it. And yet, as always, let's make some connections here first before we go further into the topic. So, as always, take a deep breath and choose to go within. Choose to open up your connection to your own divinity, to your own inner mastery, your higher self, your soul, whatever might work for you, whatever term or concept works best for you. This is about you opening to the larger you, capital S self, and just allow yourself to breathe into that. Let that expand in you and open into the intention that that expansion is going to remain throughout today's program. By all means, expand it for the rest of the day, etc. But for right now, we're connected together. So expand it for this program. And let's expand as well into connection with the Mother Earth and allow yourself to open those doors through the soles of your feet, the chakras in the bottom of the feet, through your root chakra, through the cells of your body, through whatever way it works best for you. And allow yourself to receive from her. She is always, always radiating her love to us and her support of us. And so allow yourself not only to open to that, but to actively receive it. It's almost like drinking it in, like you had a straw down into the earth and you're just sucking away. refreshing. And allow yourself to just take that in and fill up with it. Fill up with it. And as you do so, allow your own gratitude to come to the surface. Allow that to open up and to flow back to her. Your gratitude for what she offers to you in this moment and always, because that's one of our eternals right there, is our support from our Mother Earth. And allow that gratitude to flow back and feel the lift. Whenever I can really connect in with the energy of gratitude, it just feels like helium lifting me up a little bit. So allow yourself to feel that lift, to receive that. And yet, you're receiving that lift by sharing the gratitude, by giving it back. And so one of the things that that does, as far as I'm concerned, is that gratitude opens us to receiving more, because gratitude says, yes, I accept what I already have. I accept what's here. And that allows energy to move that has been either resisting this moment or holding on to this moment, etc. And so it's a beautiful way to make more space. And if you can, if this feels appropriate to you, allow yourself as well to share your love in return. Now, that doesn't have to be love for Mother Earth, although that's a wonderful way to share it. It can be love for what you're experiencing in your life or any particular aspect of your life. Because love for that, when we acknowledge that we couldn't experience that without being in body right now, and we couldn't experience that without, we couldn't experience being in body without Mother Earth being the container to allow us to experience it, that allows us to recognize that love for anything is love for Mother Earth at the same time. And again, if you're willing, if you're ready, if you're able, to whatever degree, lunch is still here apparently, if you're ready and willing to whatever degree, also offer her your support. And whatever that means for you, that can mean praying for her, that can mean consciously choosing to remember that you're a part of the overall energy that is our Mother Earth. And so everything that you do to take care of yourself, you're also doing to take care of her. And so it doesn't matter what you offer in support, but if you can offer any support to her, by all means do that. And again, as with the gratitude and the love, as you offer that to her, so you open up more space and you're able to receive more. More from her, more from the energy that's coming up of your own divinity. It's just expansive to do these things. And I believe that's where we get the idea, 'tis better to give than to receive, which, quite frankly, at the highest level, I believe that's true. But most of the time, we're not giving truly, unconditionally. We're giving with conditions. We're giving out of obligation. And so it's not true as far as I'm concerned in those circumstances, but that's that's something else. So just allow yourself to feel that flow of the energy coming up from her, the energy going out from you to her. And let's step forward into that next space. And this is about connecting to our divine support team, individually and collectively. So this is about your own angels, your spirit guides, the ascended masters and other spiritual teachers and mentors that you work with. It's about all the beings on the other side who do not have a physical body right now and yet who are supporting you, who are supporting me, who are supporting us. And again, it's about opening to receive that love and to receive the support that they are offering, as it was with our Mother Earth. Same thing. We're opening up to receive. And breathe that in and let that fill you up. And once more, allow your gratitude to flow back. Your gratitude for that support that's always there. No matter how many times we forget that that support is there, no matter how much of the time we spend not connected to it consciously, it is always there. And so allow that gratitude to flow out to them. And once more, feel that lift of allowing the gratitude to flow and feel the opening that occurs when we are willing to share that gratitude. And again, same thing. Connect with your love for them. Do you know how much they love you to hang around and do this all the time? Do this support. We're down here seemingly experiencing the struggle and the joys and all the rest of whatever it is to be a human at this time on planet Earth. And they're there, well, they're there like the team that's there in the pit when they have those races, the Indianapolis 500 and all the other car races that they have. Those cars go round and round and round and round and round and round and round. They just keep going and going and going until they need help. And then they stop in, they get new tires, and they get their gas refilled, and they get an oil change, and they get everything else. They go in for a pit stop. And in some ways, that's a pretty good image for how a lot of us tend to approach spirit, is that we're most likely to call on spirit, to connect with spirit, when we're most in need, when we need that pit stop, when we need a rest for a minute, when we need to be refilled. And part of why I begin every show this way is that when we can choose to not wait until we need help, to ask for help, help achieves a higher octave for us. It becomes support. It's an ongoing thing. It's a sense that begins to envelop us of a greater degree that we can trust in what's going to happen because we have this team with us. As much as and as easy as it can be to fall into that experiential space in a human body that we have to do everything ourselves, this team is always here with us. The same as our Mother Earth is always here. That support and that love is always there. So when we can connect with that gratitude and that love, and again, offer that support back to them. I don't know what we can offer them exactly. maybe it's passing a message on to a friend. For me, supporting my team is part of what I'm doing when I'm supporting the people I work with, whether they're listening to the radio program, whether they're coming to me as clients, whether they're joining in the groups that I offer. That's how I can support that team because all of our teams are connected. And quite frankly, we're soul family to whatever degree, so there may be a lot of overlap amongst some of our team members. But all of the support teams of everyone who is in body right now, they're all connected. And they are all working with us to move forward this transformation of the planet that we are engaged in. And so every step that we take is supporting them. Every step we take more into our power, more into our mastery, is supporting them as well. There was, I'll call it a theory, I guess, that, and I don't know where I came across this. I think it was something I read once. But the theory goes like this. Every step that we take, every bit of healing that we do, it's almost like we're in an elevator riding up and our support team is on top of our elevator. And so as we go up, so they go up. Every step that we take lifts them as well. And so that's another piece of this, that another way that we're supporting them by doing what we're here to do, by moving forward. But I think it's a good thing to bring into greater consciousness. So again, feel that flow back and forth. We are receiving from them, they're receiving from us. It is, well, that's the nature of relationship. And one of the most important things for me about doing this program is that it's about relationship. I may be the one giving voice, but we are connected. We are co-creating. And so let's go to that level and connect up more consciously with each other. And so this is for the entire Exposing the Masters Within community, individuals who listen and feed their energy into this program and in turn receive what gets offered each week. And so in this case, we have a shared intention. We have multiple shared intentions, I'm sure, but ultimately the core intention of this program is to move into mastery, to move into greater and greater empowerment. And so as we come together as a community, that intention, to whatever degree each of us holds it, becomes magnified and it expands. And so as each of us comes to connect into the community, we are able to receive more, essentially magnification of our own desire for mastery, of our own intention for empowerment. And so that's what we're opening into. And that is that support. That is, in a sense, love. It's acceptance. It's acceptance of who we are, not in our bodies, which is an interesting experience, doing radio, doing a program through the internet, not in a way where I can see everyone and where you can see me. It's not about the bodies that we inhabit in this lifetime. It's not about the personalities. It's about our energy. And so in some ways, this kind of a group makes it a little bit easier to get over our misgivings about opening ourselves too much to other people, because we don't have those judgment patterns coming in as strongly, because we're not seeing them. We're not judging this person as short or tall, as thin or fat, as attractive or unattractive, as professional or as hippie, as or whatever other ways that we just have those instantaneous snap judgments that sometimes it can be difficult to overcome. And so this is about opening to this community, not just as the personalities that we are, the bodies that we're inhabiting, but as the soul that we are, as the masters that we are. And so as we step into this, we are feeding that energy of mastery to each other, amplifying it, and allowing ourselves to step forward into greater and greater mastery as we move on. And so that's the receiving part. And the giving part, again, already at that first level, you already have an intention to move into mastery. And so you're already sharing that, because as we come together, as this group gets connected, that energy gets put into the kitty, put into the pile in the center that everybody then gets to draw from. And so you're already doing that. And whatever degree you might have gratitude, allow that to flow forth here as well. Gratitude for this community. And that's not just me, that's all of us. Gratitude that we come together and do this and co-create this each week. And again, whatever degree you're willing, you're able, you're open to share your love, to share your acceptance of these others as the divine beings they are. And see them that way. When you think about them, this is a divine community. It's a community of soul that we are creating here each week, that we are reconnecting with each week. And that's a great gift, to come together consciously to create a community of soul. So, let's expand out one more level. And this is the community of all light workers, conscious and unconscious. And at the core, light work is about opening toward the divine. But at the simplest level, that's about opening toward a better life, opening toward a better world, which everyone who is alive, who has not given up and chosen to check out, everyone who is alive has some of that in them still, or they would not keep going. That desire, that need, that drive, to whatever degree it's there, it might be very small in some of us, but that movement toward improvement. And so even those who are not conscious light workers, who are not consciously walking a path toward mastery, have that in them. And so, again, that's that ball of energy that all humanity shares. And so we can take from that. We can receive from that. We can open into that more consciously. Mass consciousness is most often thought of in the negative as something that gets in the way. But this is mass consciousness in that supportive aspect, in that empowering aspect. Mass consciousness is simply all the energy of a certain type, all the energy of a certain belief or a certain experience or a certain emotion. Well, this is the belief not only that it can be better, but that we can do something to make it better, to create it better. And so allowing that connection and allowing yourself that receiving. And then, again, take that at the higher level, if you will, the connection with those who are the conscious light workers, consciously walking the path, consciously seeking mastery for ourselves, consciously seeking to support others in their discovery and experience of mastery. That ultimately is the path that everyone is going to get to, whether they do it in this lifetime or not. And it certainly is the path, I believe, that we are being moved ever closer to. There are, in my experience, more and more people becoming conscious light workers all the time, whether they would have that word for it or not. And a greater percentage of people on the planet who are conscious light workers. So this is about magnifying all of that and letting yourself receive it. And it is both love and support. It's support of you stepping into your power, and it's acceptance of you. It is that core of love that is acceptance, that you are a divine being. And this is where it truly is the brotherhood, the sisterhood of humanity. We are all soul family here doing this together. And yeah, we got some weird uncles and we got some relatives that we don't talk to, but we are all in this together and we are all connected one way or another. And so once more, allow yourself, to whatever degree you're open and willing, to share your gratitude back to the conscious light workers, back to all of humanity, to share your love, your acceptance, your willingness to recognize that each and every one of us is divine first and personality second. And allow yourself to share that support in whatever way that goes along with the love. All right. Wonderful. Thank you. And that took longer than usual, which is fine. And so I'm going to jump back for a second, just because I alluded to it in this. It came in really strong, and I had to set it aside to actually go through with this beginning portion. But 'tis better to give than to receive. Again, at the highest octave, when we are giving freely, when it is actually free will. And I spoke at length about free will not that long ago, so I'm not going to go into it fully. But when we can give from free will, it truly is a marvelous thing, because it's that lift of gratitude, if you will. It's that lift that recognizes that giving is us creating. It's us offering ourselves into the world. And so it is actually not just us giving that matters. It's the receiving. Yes, putting forth the offer. As Osiris is fond to say, offer, don't impose. We don't want to push ourselves on others. So we're offering our love, offering our light, offering our support, offering our forgiveness, offering whatever it is that we might be offering to another, our creativity. And they're not required to take it in. And it certainly serves us better if we're not pushing it at them. But when it is received, I'll go back again to gratitude. When we actually can step into and experience gratitude, when we allow ourselves to experience gratitude, it is the last step, if you will, in an experience. It's the completion of the experience. And as an experience is completed, it frees energy up. It allows us to move into the next experience and the next experience and the next experience. And in that way, when someone does receive us, when they get to that place of gratitude, the true gratitude, and again, not the obligatory thank you, but when they are actually feeling it, there's a release that takes place. What we've given, yes, it's been accepted, not just in the sense of checks and balances, tit for tat, I gave, you received, you give, I receive, but in the sense of being experienced. What that is an experience of our light. Because if we're truly giving freely, if we're not giving out of obligation, if we're not giving because we're expected to, if we're giving freely, then what we're giving is ourselves. Now, it may be that it's baked goods. It may be that we made brownies or cookies or muffins. It may be that we made a casserole and took it to someone. It may be that we painted something or created something else in terms of arts and crafts. It may be a kind word that we're giving. It may be that we are giving our willingness to listen. But whatever it is that we are giving, when someone else actually receives it to the point that they come to true gratitude, that is an acknowledgement. And again, it doesn't matter if they say it or not. Doesn't matter if they say thank you, because how many times have you heard thank you and there really wasn't any meaning? It wasn't heartfelt. It's quite interesting to me that we even have a phrase, heartfelt thanks, because it implies that there's a lot of thanks that really isn't heartfelt. But what I'm talking about is heartfelt thanks. And when someone feels that gratitude, it lifts us. Excuse me. I'm a little choked up here. It's a confirmation of our worthiness. And as long as we are in the body and we're not fully in our mastery, we're still seeking that approval outside ourselves. Now, again, one of the pieces that, oh, interesting. I see the segue that will get us to where I was intending to talk. One of the pieces that I believe wholeheartedly is that we can never do enough to earn our sense of value, that our value comes from our divinity. But when someone gets to that place of actually receiving us all the way to the level of heartfelt thanks, that deep gratitude, what does that mean? Well, it means that we have gotten to a place of acknowledging us to that deeper level. Because remember, everyone out there is the mirror. And so if someone gets to that gratitude and reflects that back to you, that means you've gotten to that place of accepting another level of yourself. And that is a beautiful thing. Because it's not that their gratitude is what causes you to get there. It's their gratitude that is a reflection that you're already there. Now, it may be that connecting with them when they are in that heartfelt gratitude to you, to me, to us, allows us to recognize that we're there, to become aware of it. Again, because that's what the mirror does. It allows us to see ourselves more fully. But we can't see what's not already there. And so, when we do that giving, that is freely given. And I'll let you in on a little secret here. If I'm not in a space to freely give on a given day, whether I'm in my own crap, I've got some process that I'm working on, whether I'm just too tired, I don't do the program. There have been a couple of those during the time I've been on air so far where I just wasn't up for it. So I don't do it. And I have Doug play a replay. One of the times when I was freely giving. And quite frankly, it's a marvelous place to be. When I choose to give, not because I have the program every Sunday at this time, but because at this time, on this given Sunday, I am aligned with my intentions for this program. And we come together, and what flows out is what you and I create together. And that is wonderful. And I am doing my best in my life to not do things that I can't get that kind of alignment with. Hard to say even, apparently. And that leads me into the topic that I brought with me today, consciously. And it has to do with, I don't know, what I've been feeling for the past few weeks and in having conversations with a number of clients, a number of friends of mine. It seems to be, I don't know if it's universal, that everyone's going through this. I hesitate to make that kind of universal statement when it's this experiential. But certainly a lot of people seem to be experiencing some variation on this. And if you're not one of them, then maybe this is something that you experience at other times, or maybe it's something that you will experience down the line. I don't know. But I do know you're helping me co-create this conversation anyway, so there must be something in here for you. Anyway, the experience that I'm talking about, I haven't been able to quite put my finger on, which is why I haven't talked about it before now. But this week, I was able to get to the concept, the experience that I was having, and connect with it in a way that changed my experience of it. So let me describe a little bit, perhaps, of what's going on. And there's a degree to which it's, I won't say apathy, because it's not that I haven't cared. Lethargy might be a better word for it. You know, not having a lot of energy, not being able to do much, not feeling able to do much. But that's certainly not all of it. There's a piece of waiting. I felt like I'm waiting. And even though I can feel the energies on the planet continuing to accelerate and accelerate and accelerate, there's a part of me that has felt like, I don't know, like I stopped trying to keep up. And there's a degree to which that's surrender, but it's not surrender in the giving up, quitting kind of way. And it's not exactly surrender in the full-on acceptance, which is the ideal version of surrender, because that, again, is like the gratitude. It helps to complete it so we can let it go. But almost more like surrender because I'm perplexed or confused. And that brings me to another piece of this, which has to do with, it's not a lack of focus, more a lack of clarity, where even though, again, I haven't had a ton of energy to do, I also haven't had the clarity of what to do, haven't had the certainty that this was the right thing to do. And again, it's not, there were not a number of things that I was able to do in this time, including, and this is a side note, but I offer it here. This past Wednesday, I was on a webinar for the Walk-ins Welcome Conference that I'll be speaking at the end of September. And it was quite good. And I've heard from several people who listen regularly to the program who expressed how much that webinar was right on and a distilling of a lot of what I talk about, but there were also a number of new things in it that I've never spoken of before because they showed up that morning or the day before. So if any of you would like to listen to that webinar, send me an email. My email address is on BBS on the website there under my bio, but I'll just give it contactlight@AOL.com if you don't have it. Again, that's contactlight@AOL.com. Send me an email and I'll send you the link so you can listen to it if you'd like. But so it's not that I haven't done anything, but overall, and again, it's not hopelessness or helplessness, but uncertainty about the point in the moment. And again, I don't know how many of you are actually experiencing this recently or have experienced it recently or might be experiencing right now. But in talking about it with one of my friends this week, the word that came forth that really fit the bill completely was empty. Empty. And again, not in that pointless way. There's no meaning here. But empty in a different way. And it wasn't, well, it wasn't just in that conversation. I've been sitting with that since and exploring it. And it's an emptiness that is awaiting if you will. And again, it's not that I'm not willing to take action if it's there to take, but I am unwilling to take action that's not clearly mine to take. Breathe that in. I'm unwilling to take action that is not clearly mine to take. And so until I get that clarity, I'm waiting. But what I've come to realize as I've been sitting with it the past few days since that concept first came out of my mouth, first came up in my consciousness, is that what I'm describing, I think, is the void. And if there's one thing in our culture that I think is pretty strong, it would be this unspoken mantra: avoid the void. We are a marvelous culture for doing our best to fill up every moment with something. With something. Read a book, watch a show, go to the movies, listen to music, do your work, fix dinner, feed the dog, blah, 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 blah. And we have this interminable, unending list of shoulds, culturally, what it means to be a successful, good human. And that varies by person, but overall it has to do with consumption. It has to do with cleanliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. You have to have your house in order. You have to have your life in order. You have to have everything in order. And there's a degree to which it has to do with something that I think some of us do really well, some of us do really poorly, but I don't believe that there are many of us, if any of us, who have perfected. And that is clarity. Because we tend to focus our clarity on some levels more than others. Now, for those of us who are conscious light workers, there tends to be a focusing on spirituality, perhaps more so than the other levels of our being. And yet, I don't believe we are here to avoid the physical, the emotional, or the mental. And they are messengers. And again, there's another program out there, at least one that I've done, where I went in extensively talking about what I believe those three levels are actually here to do for us. Essentially give us feedback so we can make better choices, make more conscious choices. But I don't believe that we tend as a culture, as a society, and even as a spiritual community, as much as we are seeking to connect with the divine, I believe that we spend more time attempting to do divinity, do spirituality, rather than be spiritual. And what I mean by that, and I go back to saying, this feeling of emptiness, this feeling of the void, it's a waiting. And I said, I'm unwilling to do that which I don't know is mine to do. Well, that's a starting point. And that's a place that I've gotten to over the years of truly stepping away from as many obligations as I possibly could. Stepping away from as many pieces of should as I possibly could. But one of the pieces that got lost along the way a little bit for me was actively opening to know what was mine to do. Now, again, it's not that I have no clarity or I never would have started this program, never would have started the gateway activations, never would have done a lot of things. But there's a lot about my life that is the way it is, not because I've consciously chosen it, but because I don't know yet what to choose in its place. And I almost want to say, as I admit that, and I don't feel ashamed of it, so I guess admit is not exactly the right word, but as I share that, what came to me in this exploration of that emptiness, in that exploration of that awareness that that's what it was, is that, again, culturally, we have such a strong program of doing. And we typically choose our doing to fill as much space as possible. And then we do, and again, this is certainly not everyone and certainly not all the time, but then we tend to do receiving that is more passive. A lot of that is in the computer. It's in front of the TV. It's not receiving internally. It's receiving externally. And I've heard it described that prayer is talking to God and meditation is listening to God. And yet, I know a lot of people who meditate, but I don't know how many of them, when they're meditating, that's their purpose. Their purpose is more about the technique. What is it that I need to say? How many times do I need to repeat my mantra? What breath count am I on? And that's another piece of what I was talking about earlier, about doing spirituality. And I don't remember exactly how it was stated in the most recent gateway, talking about creativity. But the idea was this, that one of the ideas was that part of where we have lost out is that we look at creativity as the output. It's what the expression is. It's doing something. It's creating something. But if we don't have the input, then we're not going to be able to create anything. If we don't allow the inspiration, if we don't allow ourselves that space of emptiness to receive, then we're not going to change what we're experiencing. Because if we're creating from the same space we've always been creating, we will keep creating the same thing. When we would seek to change our lives, we have to open. If they're actually going to change, we have to open to new receiving, to new information, whether it's read or heard, whether it comes from exposing the masters within or a book you're reading or a conversation you're having. I love in conversation how things come up in me that I didn't know were there, like the concept of emptiness. I've often said, I don't know what I know until somebody asks me a question. And then all kinds of stuff spews out of me that I hadn't consciously put together. Sometimes. Not if someone asks me what time it is. But I believe that this emptiness is a place that it's time for us to go. Not because time is running out. I don't believe that. Not in the sense that the world's going to end soon if we don't fix something. But that's what the opportunity is of this time. Is to bring forth a new world. There has to be a new vision. And I don't mean the big picture golden age. It's going to be everybody singing and dancing all the time, and there's flowers and sunshine and happiness. I mean, moment to moment life. What does that look like in a world like that? What would you actually desire to do? You know, there's kind of pat answers I have. If I, you know, when they ask a question of, if money were not an object, what would you do with your life? I've got some pat answers, but I don't know, because money is an object right now. But that's a starting point. That's a place to seek. That's a place to go into the emptiness and to write down those answers that first come to mind, and then let that go and see what's underneath it. What's actually there? And then what's underneath that? And what's underneath that? And what's underneath that? I read something this week that really stuck with me. And it was an image that I've had but never quite put into these words. And it's that idea of the spiritual awakening. And someone has this, oh, hugely expansive experience, and they're connected to everything, and it's just so beautiful and wonderful, and then it goes away. And often a mini version of that is when we go to conferences and workshops and trainings and all those sorts of things. And it's this great community, and then we get home. And I don't remember the exact words, but the basic concept that this person said was that energy by its nature must move. It's an illusion to think that we're going to get some place, some experience in our life, and then stay there, including that vision that we have of heaven. You know, it's almost ironic to me. Maybe that's the wrong word in this context, but it's almost ironic to me that, well, except for, you know, the Islamic faith and the virgins in the afterlife, you know, the idea of heaven is pretty nebulous. Just what's going to happen? What is this eternal reward? What does that look like? You know, and we've got these weird ass stereotypes of, you know, lounging on clouds with harps, and most people don't believe that, but we don't necessarily have a clearer picture of it than that. But it's because I believe we haven't been looking for it. We haven't been looking for that picture. Why? Because God's going to supply that. Well, here's the news. Here's the news. We are God. We are goddess. And we need to choose it. We need to chart that uncharted course. We need to open to the inspiration. And if we weren't already open to that to some degree, we wouldn't be walking this path consciously, because we truly are seeking, striving, moving to create things in a better way and to create better things. But this to me feels like a different octave of envisioning, like a different approach. It's not just what I wish to experience in the physical dimension, the places I would choose to visit. It's not just what I want to experience in the emotional dimension. It's not just what I want to experience in terms of expanding my thoughts. It's what I would choose to experience to the core of my being. And oddly enough, part of the answer for me is that emptiness. Now, it's slightly different than I've been experiencing it, that what I'm seeking. But when I connect with that energy of the emptiness, and I can connect with it as the void, what is it as well is the womb. And what's the womb's job? I believe, and I could be wrong, there might be a woman out there who died after giving birth to 25 children and she was, you know, 50. But I believe that the womb's primary job is waiting. Because unless someone literally gets pregnant a week after they give birth, and they stay pregnant throughout their years of pregnancy, and they die pretty much immediately after, in terms of sheer linear time, the womb is empty far more than it is filled. And that speaks to me, even though I don't have a uterus inside of me waiting for a baby to get put in there. And not that that's the reason for women to be, to give birth. But from a spiritual perspective, that waiting doesn't have to be negative in the pejorative sense, in the it's bad sense. It is negative in the sense of it is drawing things to it. And that's not to say that we're not creating all the time, because we are. We're creating every single moment. But a core piece of that creation is always the time before we know what we're creating. And to some degree, often, right now at least, and hopefully this will change, maybe this will change, I can envision the idea that it would change into this different place, but often, right now, we don't seek a new vision until there's enough dissatisfaction to push us toward one. What is it that's not working that I can fix? Rather than, what is it I can imagine being even better than it is? And that might be a statement, another statement of where I would choose to go, what I would choose to experience if I were creating heaven, is being in the state of ever-expansiveness, seeing infinite potential for things to get better. But in order to do that, I believe we have to become more comfortable with the void, with the emptiness, and with the waiting. Lots of people speak about divine timing as if it's a curse or a joke. I can't have it because it's not divine timing yet. Or, oh my God, that must be about divine timing. And yet, what is divine timing but the intersection of energies when they come together into that alignment? Into that alignment. And part of that path, a huge part of that path, is stepping away from the things that we know we would not choose to do. But then it's about opening up into the space of allowing ourselves to know what we would choose to do. And on that note, let's see what they might have to say. So, as always, before the channeling, or for the channeling, this is time for you to just allow your breathing to deepen and be conscious of it. And I will do the toning and allow through whoever's ready to come through. So, hello, dear ones. This is Pele, come to be with you today. Welcome. Welcome. And we would bring you
some of the energies for embodying what you have just been hearing about, to take them in more deeply. And we would offer you this. There is a concept among your scientists based on their experiences, their observations. None of them have yet experienced it directly. But the concept has to do with black holes, where the gravity, and in this case you can think of gravity as that negative energy, which is the receptive in overdrive. And it is pulling so hard, so strongly, that gravity, that love, is pulling so hard that not even light can escape. And that is all going in. And there is a concept related to that, that the black hole goes somewhere. And all that is being sucked into that black hole is coming out somewhere else and creating something anew. Because the energy of the black hole, the gravity of the black hole, it distorts what is inside of it. In other words, it changes it, it reforms it, it reformulates it. So that what comes out the other side is not the same as what went into it. It is not merely a hose. What goes in one side comes out the other end the same. More like a blender. Put in the ingredients, stir it all up, and then you've got something else. And that is frightening to humanity. Because that is creation. That is manifestation. If you would have the new, the old must be transformed. It must become distorted from what it is. It must change. It must ultimately be destroyed. The form must be destroyed. Now, that does not mean the body must be destroyed. Although many women who have been pregnant would say that that's what happens. That the body gets destroyed. But you cannot change your life without changing your life. But change induces fear, because you do not trust the outcome. How do you know that what is now, the form, the energy, the situation, the circumstances, will not be twisted and distorted into something worse on the other side? Well, you cannot know that mentally. You cannot know it emotionally. You cannot even know it physically until you know it spiritually. What do we mean by that? We mean by the more you come into experiencing your divinity, your mastery, your true empowered self, the more you know that is the source of all that you experience. The more you let go of the pain and the judgment of past experiences that you didn't actually relish or like very much. The more you can trust that what will come out the other side of the black hole of your creation is not distortion into grotesque. It is transformation into empowerment. And so, the void is a good place to go. The emptiness is a good place to go. And an image to take there with you when you go. Although sometimes the void can be filled in a flash, like lightning, a flash of insight. More often, it is filled like a spring that is just coming forth, newborn out of the earth. And it fills the bottom of the space nearest to it. It flows downhill to create a new foundation, and then fills you up, and then overflows when you own it completely. But too many of you, whether it is from the movies or not, too many of you seek the flash answer. Well, the flesh in the pan doesn't get very far. No. You need to let the cake bake. You need to let the bread rise. And then you have a manifestation that is substance in your life that will feed you and through which you will feed others. So, allow yourself to be in the experience of the void. And you will come out transformed and empowered on the other side. Much love, dear ones. Much, much love, dear creators. Namaste. Well, thank you, Pele. And thank you, one and all, to each of you co-creating this with me here today. And thanks to Dog for holding the energy out there and starting the chimes up whenever he's ready. I cannot do this without you. I hope you know that. And I do encourage and am eternally grateful for the feedback that you give me, the questions, the comments, and the energy that you feed in each week to co-create this with me. So, I will be back. At least that's the intention. There could be misalignment, but we'll suspect that there won't be. Next week, same time, same place. I pray, I hope, I desire that you would be there with me. And I wish you a wonderful week in between and all the blessings that you are open to receiving. Much love, my friends. Namaste.